is Nelson Goldberg.
Yeah. Okay, so, when did you first come to Lakewood?
Well, actually, I used to visit the yeshiva. I came for as a younger boy, like 15 years old or so, 16.
What was your connection to come here?
My brother was there.
Uh-huh.
Also, I was a Talmud in Shiva's Rabbeinu Yankiv Yosef.
Yeah.
With the Rosh Yeshiva of Baron Kotler, had a presence there in Yeshiva there.
In what form?
Oh, he was very close with Irving Bunim, who was the president of Yosef. Some of his better Talmidim came from there. That was a Mokim Yanika for Talmidim, and he used to come at least once a year to say a shiur there.
Well, what year was that you said you were 15?
I think 55.
55,
uh-huh. 55.
So you heard a shiur from him there?
Well, I did hear in Yankiv Yosef once. I wasn't then in Yankiv Yosef. I was younger, but, you know, it wasn't for me yet. The shiur.
Yeah, but you saw, even though it wasn't for you, you saw something.
Yeah.
You saw something different.
Right.
Could you describe that a little bit?
Well, there was a lot of excitement that day when he was supposed to arrive, and the Rosh Yeshiva in Yankiv Yosef was Reb Mendel Kravitz, and he was a Talmud Muvik from Rosh Yeshiva Baron.
Yeah.
And he said a lot of the shiurim over himself during his regular shiur.
You mean he learned the Kletzk?
Yeah, the Kletzk. And he was very close with Reb Baron.
Uh-huh.
And that instilled in the Talmidim a big chashivis and arocha for Reb Baron, and they knew who he was. There was just not excitement from the Talmidim, but from the Rabbeim. All the Rabbeim came to the shiur.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were also Talmidim and Kletzk.
Who else was there?
Shai Shimonovitz.
Uh-huh.
He was a Talmud and Kletzk.
Uh-huh. He was also in Mir, wasn't he?
Yeah. That's after. There was a set of Stolman, and a set of Yibad Luchayn. No, Rav Stolmi Yibadlchan. There was Rav Novinensky, Zachain of the Brocha. And it could be a few others. So the yeshiva still had the Sakesha with Lakewood.
Right. So that was right there. So then you come visiting, right?
Yeah.
So what was the experience by the visit?
Simchas Torah, I went there, and I stayed by his son-in-law, Grada. That's where they put me up.
From Dave?
Dave Schwartzman at that time. And you know, it was like the first time that I really experienced the mezuzah, the real yeshivish Simchas Torah, which with the baron and the dancing, Moshe Emes for Seirose Emes, and he himself would use all his kaychus.
So it was an awesome experience. So then eventually you got here.
Well, then I was learning by Einar of Meir Mintz.
Okay.
Yeshiva in
in
Borough Park.
He was here too.
Yeah,
once.
He was in Lakewood, right?
Was he a Talmud from Kletzk?
No.
Uh huh.
But he was a Brisker. Mm-hmm. He learned in, I think, the Brisker Yeshiva, not by the Brisker Rav. Probably too young, but he learned in by the Moshe Sokolovsky.
Uh-huh.
And then during the war years, he was with the Mir Yeshiva all those years.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow he himself learned in Lakewood afterwards.
Uh-huh.
He was in Lakewood. And then he made a yeshiva with the Motri Yafi in Borough Park. It was actually the first Masifta in Borough Park. But it didn't last that long, it was 9 months.
Uh-huh.
And then he moved to Lakewood with a few of the Talmidim.
Yeah.
One of them is Rebel Yibab Achvogel.
Yeah, I spoke to him about that.
And I didn't go that first year, but the second year I went.
Uh-huh.
I came back.
What year was that that you went there?
I think it was the first, 57.
57.
I bought him for a couple of months, and then I went into the yeshiva.
So he was part of the yeshiva like Meir Mintz?
No, he had his own base medrash. Rabban gave him his own base medrash in the old base medrash There's the old building on 676.
Yeah.
That was the original Beis Medrash.
Before 7th Street?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that was the dining room.
Uh-huh.
But there was still an Aron Kodesh there in the back room.
Uh-huh.
That was the original Beis Medrash.
Uh-huh. Is that where the dormitory is now, or the dining room?
Oh. That's where the... Well, the Beis Medrash is there.
The new Beis Medrash.
The new Beis Medrash. The old Beis Medrash. It's all in that area.
Oh, you mean on, that was on 7th Street?
617 6th Street.
Oh, 6th Street.
The original Beis Medrash.
Oh, okay.
Dining, the dining room was there.
Oh,
originally in the old mansion.
Yeah.
And, which they knocked down, of course, eventually.
Was that the Bentheim building?
I think so.
Because I always talk about...
Bentheim was... I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I think the Bentheim building was the first, the dorm. So that's not the dormitory, though.
I don't know.
Anyway, they had their Chofetz Chaim room in that building.
Uh-huh.
The dining room was there.
Uh-huh.
And later on, they also used the back where the old Beis Medrash was. And that's that Beis Medrash Rabban allowed the Meir Mintz to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there for the Yevamos Zman.
Yeah.
Actually, the year before, Rav Aaron asked me to go to Boston.
Oh yeah. Who was that? That's
in Boston at that time was Rav Shaul Goldman.
There's another name I remember with Boston.
Later on,
he's at Yisrael now.
Blaib Hyman.
Right, right.
Yeah, so
that was later on.
This was like 5 weeks before Pesach.
Uh huh. What year was that?
56.
Uh huh.
And he asked me to go along to Boston.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the Blaib Hyman went to Boston to have a look at it, and he wanted to take it over. Shaul Goldman was leaving, and so I went along and was there for 5 weeks right before before Pesach.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, I went to the Meir Yeshiva of Shmuel Brudny, but he told me. That I should go to Boston, well, ich bin a pioneer, he told me.
He used that term.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's a pioneer.
He liked like an American term.
Right. So there was a few of us who I went, and there was others who were in the yeshiva already. There was somebody, Aaron Shore, and Shimon Hirsch was there.
Shimon Hirsch. I spoke to him.
Uh-huh.
Shimon Hirsch, is he an Einikel from Shamsun for her?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I spoke to him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, till Pesach, there was the Mashgiach, there was a Biankiv Pinchas Geralnik, he's just Nifter.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He was a Kamenitz.
I heard his Nehra Hester here for him.
So he was the Mashgiach there. He pleaded that I should stay there after Pesach, learn with me.
Uh-huh.
I would learn a Musa with me, I would learn the Masechta with me.
Yeah.
I think they were supposed to learn Kedushin, and he said Kedushin can't about Peh because he was in Siberia during the war, and the only Gemara he had was Kedushin, and that's the only Gemara he learned.
Okay, so then you were in Boston, then what happened?
And then I went to the in New York, and afterwards the following year I came back to the Meir Mintz, and then I went into the yeshiva in the middle of the Zman, the Yevamos Zman.
Okay, what was
and I remained there till Sukkot 1959. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you like 2 years there?
Two and a half. A little more than two and a half,
At that time. Relate some of the things that you observed in the yeshiva with Rabban in that period.
The shiur, okay. I mean, the shiur was, you know, Pesach. Mitzvah Shabbos on Monday morning, and Rabban, unfortunately, he wasn't there that often.
Uh-huh.
He was just there basically from Thursday night till Monday morning. And, a good part of the time was his, Fanuman was saying his shiur, he used to say over the shiur before to the Talmidim Friday night. And afterwards, he would prepare the shiur. I think the beginning, I remember, it was Rabbi Yankiv Shiv. And I'm not sure who else. Bianchi Shiv Serechazos Ashir, after the Shir, and there was also the Bleib Taub, Serechazos Ashir.
Yeah.
I think his Shir, he was the official Choyze.
Uh-huh.
And later, and later on, Rav Meir Hartstein said it also a Chazor.
Uh-huh.
He said a Chazor. So there were a few people saying a Chazor Sashir on different levels. So it's Lamaisa.
So the
Shir, I'm sure you heard this, you know, was Chazor mit a gewaldige
Chiyus. Yeah, this is very important.
And it was mit a fire, mit a brand, you know, even though he used to say it over every time they learned the same Sechta, he said over the same Shurim. Once in a while, he added some Shurim.
Mm-hmm.
And Yevomis man, and during the summer, he said he was Machadish new Shurim.
Mm-hmm.
When he went on vacation, he said he was Machadish some new Shurim there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back, and once in a while, he used to say a Loshen as Dem Shir Zem Islamiti Shal Torah was Gegeben Gevon B'Sinai.
He's so confident.
That's what he, you know, once in a while, like I remember Psar Bocha, Yossel Kaufman wanted to go home for Shabbos.
Yeah.
And officially then, you could go every 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Once every 8 weeks, you could go home.
Uh-huh.
And I feel you had to ask your shoes.
Uh-huh.
It's not Nicker. They say the Bel Yeshve, he's always like his own.
Yeah.
He was 29 years old. He used to ask your shoes. To go, and he had to go in for Shidduch in the stomach.
Yeah.
He wasn't there. He had flecked fagging his shoes. But our Kaponim said his Bochy, he wanted to go home for Shabbos.
Yeah.
So Rabban told him that this Shabbos he's saying is Shir and a Givisa Sugya.
Yeah.
And he says, Dem Shir, Vedlan and Toizent Yo, he'll never be able to come to Mechavan to this Shir.
Mm-hmm.
And Dem Shir, doch gegeben geworden, Har Sinai, said, with the ganze bread, with the ganze guy.
Yeah.
Like he's telling him, you know, Yizicha should not go home for this Shabbos. He's going to miss Mamish Matan Torah.
So I guess he didn't go home.
I guess so.
If anybody didn't come home, Yossel Kaufman did.
Yeah.
I spoke to him too, that's why I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
He's very, very much in awe, even to this day.
Yeah,
he has a tremendous stylist about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, the Kufa was... If you said, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva, everybody knew you're talking about Rabban. You know,
in any place in the world.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I remember when I was in the Mir, so I once was speaking with Rav Kalmanovitz, so I mentioned the Rosh Yeshiva, so he looked at me, so like he's the Rosh Yeshiva.
Right. Uh-huh. It was just like a reflex, actually.
Yeah.
It was such a obvious thing. Are there any other things that you remember that were characteristic, that or say anecdotes?
I mean, my Roshim, to an extent, you know, he was a very, to the Talmidim, was a very warm person, very very fatherly.
Yeah.
And he really, you know, achutz that, you know, every minute, every second you saw, he was really oduk and limud haTorah, like it never left him. We took turns driving him.
Yeah, that's very interesting that people told me that.
And there was one time, you know, once or twice I drove him to New York.
Yeah.
In New York, we went to get a Sefer Torah in the East Bronx.
Uh-huh.
First, we were in the office a whole day.
Yeah.
In New York. And, you know, he pushed it, he wouldn't eat. He'd forget about eating.
Mm-hmm.
He was so, even though he was in the office, and the office is showing, you know, different Milanish Donald, but nevertheless, he was angetone in what he was doing, and that was to him, Fishtetzach, also Kaidish Kadosh. And he wanted to eat. His mind was also, his daughter, Allah Shalom, came about 3 o'clock, and she brought him some food, and she stood over him, she made sure he ate something. But he was, Nishkat getting interested in eating anything. And then we had to leave to go to the Bronx about 7 o'clock to this COVID. He went there because they were giving Sifri Torah to the yeshiva. The shul was closing down somewhere in the East Bronx, Donald. And we got lost. I got lost anyway. And so I pulled down the window and I asked if somebody on the street, where's this in this street? So the guy told me.
Yeah.
And I started to go. So Rosh Hashiva told me then, Nate, don't go this way. Yadav gay fakert. He told you fakert.
Yeah?
He said, Zichigizak Ligin. He told me to turn around and go the other way.
And what happened?
Taki was right.
Who was right?
The Rosh Hashiva.
Oh.
He wanted a fafiras.
Was that like Chakaydish or Hittistam? Because he was so aware of things.
He was aware. He's basically saw what's for everyone.
He was a very good observer.
Yeah. He helped very quickly. Anyway, we found the place, Baruch Hashem, and. He was there also in a couple hours, and he had to speak, and there was a whole ceremony, and then finally we got back to Borough Park, his house, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
He didn't eat shemata a whole day.
Yeah.
He walked in, dash to Zahi, right to the Gemara.
Yeah.
You know, then Zain Rebetzin brought him something to eat, the face of the Azeh. It was Kilu, he wasn't out of the Gemara. It was Mamish. It wasn't Nikah that he was ever anywhere else but in that Gemara.
That's his whole life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it usually takes time to
settle down
outside, till you get your thoughts collected.
Yeah.
Until then, by him, it was mamish like you just, it was.
No Heshagadah.
Kept going, right? Nothing at all.
Interesting.
The next day, we went back to the Bronx to a mikveh ceremony.
Uh-huh. He was able to do
the West Bronx, and
he was able to handle a lot of things at once.
Right. He was all over. He was he was everywhere. Mamash, it was unbelievable. That it got koiches for the ganz klal. Mamash.
Was he a powerful person physically, or just the risk of the
eyesight? But he had a zabren. There was a. And his metzias demanded COVID, you know. Not that he personally demanded anything, but just his presence was just, you know.
It was obvious. COVID.
Yeah, it was obvious. I mean, Moshe Rav Hutner, you know, Adam Godel, he had, you know, his mahalach with Talmidim that...
Yeah.
It's the Gebissel Malchus Dick, a Talmud has to walk backwards from it.
Yeah, yeah.
The Anakpodus, and the Chuli, and.
Yeah.
All right, because they, I mean, good, the Kovat HaTeres.
Yeah, right.
You want to even Chanach then.
Right.
But by the Rashiva Rabban, he didn't need anything. He didn't need anything, you know, to demand
himself.
Anything. It was Memele, it wasn't Shaya Chandi.
That's interesting. Any more mitzvahs? Whatever you can come up with.
There was something I had in mind and just slipped.
Let's talk about something. So we'll talk about a different thing. We'll come back.
Yeah. I once got a ride.
Yeah.
Went with him to New York with somebody else.
Yeah.
Ain't a Shia Parnas. Zachrin
Lebrocha. Shia Parnas. Okay.
He's not alive. And I think they were learning Baba Basra, that's man. And the Rashiva, he was a nervous driver. He was a backseat driver. Although he sat in the front seat.
Uh-huh.
He was very nervous, sort of.
Well, he had an accident then, so
that was later.
Uh-huh.
But in general, he was nervous. So.
Uh-huh.
And he used to, you know, tell them, this is, you know, watch out for this, watch out for that. So the car was going, and there was a truck.
Yeah.
And the car was going, you know, getting ahead of the truck.
Yeah.
So Baron told him, don't go, you know, gainished. So Shia Parnas, Oliver Shalom, told the Rashiva, listen, I have the right of way.
Yeah.
You know, by law, I have the right of way, make it gain. So Rashiva says, Einoch Enami. You have the right of way, and Chas V'Sholom, if something happens, it'll be Gira delay. That means it's, you know, it'll be the other guy's fault.
Yeah.
And Gira de Chasa, you know, Yenna Tonish game.
Yeah.
Aber was am Ton, Yenna Zapoya, I weiß nicht, I can't just learn. So you better not go.
What was the other thing you wanted to say before?
I mean, I do remember, you know, they sat over this. I didn't see.
Yeah,
but
it's all right.
There was he used to go to this. I think there was a hotel in Hunter, New York, or in Highmount.
Highmount, yeah.
I forgot what it was called.
There was a few hotels.
Fleischmann's, yeah.
Fleischmann's, yeah. There used to be Letterer's.
Letterer's.
I think that was the one they told me.
Uh-huh. So anyway, I just hope you heard that there was a famous, I'll give you, Mr. Hasenfeld.
Uh-huh.
The jewel, the diamond man.
Yeah.
And he also used to go, it's Mishpocha Zayna.
Yeah.
In-laws or something. And he was a Talmud of a Satmar Rebbe.
Uh-huh.
He made up that he was going to learn. He learned with Rabban 1 hour in the morning.
Yeah.
And Rabban would learn him for an hour.
Yeah.
He did. He said he learned with him for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then he claims he used to sit for 3 hours watching him learn. Just watching him.
Watch Rabban learn?
Yeah. He had such a spilus just watching him. He said he had so much chizuk from just watching the way that he learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it was gedai just to sit there and gaze upon him while I learned. I mean, his, you know, the smother and the brand was unbelievable. I mean, so the sachmas made him. You know.
But he instilled this feeling into the Talmidim.
Yeah, yeah.
So they all tried to emulate that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was in Lakewood had a gewaldige ruach. There's no yeshiva that had as a ruach, as a brand.
It was all from him.
Yeah, Avada, yeah.
You still can feel the glow.
Yeah.
Doesn't go away.
You felt it was real. It was Kula Emes. It was. And you know his whole Matzias. That was his Matzias. There was nothing else. It was Einoit. Nothing else.
Okay.
Not at all.
And it really wasn't like he was putting on something, like something. It wasn't a frumkeit, it was from essence of the Torah that he was involved in. That's what gave it to him.
That was father.
It was like natural.
Yeah.
There were no affectations.
Right.
You never felt that the way.
Yeah.
That's good. So it's very encouraging in a way.
Yeah.
You give a lot of encouragement. Mm-hmm. If you see something amiss, you want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
It's like it draws you in.
Right.
Draws you in. Very good. Very good. Okay, you want to make a closing statement, like a summary of the whole experience?
I mean, basically, I mean, I was fortunate, although I left yeshiva.
Yeah.
I went to Beis HaTalmud for 4 years. Rabban was nifta.
That was when, before or after was nifta?
Before.
Uh-huh.
I went to New York, to Beis HaTalmud in New York. And I was there for 4 years, then I came back to the yeshiva. And got married in the yeshiva in Lakewood. Stayed there another 7 years after.
So when did you leave eventually?
I left in, after Sukkot, 1959.
Oh, you left, that's the very after you were married?
No.
Oh.
No, I got married in Lakewood. When I came back in 64, I got
married.
65.
So you left in 65?
I came back in 64 to Lakewood and got married in 62.
And how long did you stay after that?
Till the end, till 72.
Oh, it was quite a while.
Till I got my first Stella in 72.
Uh-huh.
While I was in Lakewood, I was a psaboychen in the yeshiva.